Welcome to the Baird Group Corporate Restructuring Review for October 2011, brought to you by the editors of the Troubled Company Reporter and the Troubled Company Prospector. In this month's Corporate Restructuring Review, we'll discuss five topics. First, last month's largest Chapter 11 filings and other statistics. Second, large Chapter 11 filings TCR editors anticipate in the near term. Third, a quick review of the major pending disputes in Chapter 11 cases that we monitor day by day. Fourth, reminders about debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. And fifth, information you're unlikely to find elsewhere about new publicly traded securities being issued by Chapter 11 debtors. Now, let's review the largest Chapter 11 cases in October 2011. Danilo Munoz reports the number of Chapter 11 cases with assets in excess of $100 million has steadily increased in the past 4 months. There were 10 mega cases in October, compared to 7 in September and August, and 4 in July. For the first 10 months of 2011, there were a total of 70 companies with assets of at least $100 million that filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, or an average of 7 mega cases per month. In comparison, during the first 10 months of 2010, there were a total of 83 mega cases, or an average of about 8 per month. The decrease in the number of mega cases for the first 10 months in 2011 as compared to 2010 was about 13%. For fiscal year 2010, there were a total of 105 mega cases, or an average of about 9 per month. MF Global Holdings Limited joined our monthly review at the 11th hour by filing largest Chapter 11 bankruptcy this year. With more than $40 billion in assets, MF Global easily eclipsed paper maker NewPage Corporation, which filed in September. MF Global has also become the 8th largest U.S. bankruptcy in history. At this time last year, there was no new Chapter 11 filing that involved a billion-dollar company. Other billion-dollar filers this year are book retailer Borders Group and hotel resort operator MSR Resort Golf Course, both filed in February. Last year's billion-dollar list included one-time movie rental Blockbuster Incorporated, which filed September 2010, Boston Generating LLC, which filed in August 2010, hotel operator Innkeepers, USA Trust and Capmark Unit, Protec Holdings LLC, both of which filed in July 2010. MF Global Holding Limited and affiliate MF Global Finance USA Incorporated filed voluntary Chapter 11 petitions with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York on October 31st after a rush sale to Interactive Brokers Group collapsed. As of September 30th, 2011, MF Global had $41 billion in total assets and $39.6 billion in total liabilities. It is the largest Chapter 11 case since CIT Group filed for Chapter 11 in November 2009. New York-based MF Global is one of the world's largest brokers of commodities and listed derivatives. MF Global provides access to more than 70 exchanges around the world. The firm is also one of 22 primary dealers authorized to trade U.S. government securities with the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. MF Global fell in Chapter 11 after making wrong bets on sovereign bonds issued by European countries. John S. Corzine, former New Jersey governor and one-time chairman of Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated, took over as CEO at MF Global in March 2010. He set out to change MF Global from a mid-sized derivatives broker to a full-fledged investment bank that took risk with its own capital. The trade, which ballooned over $6 billion, helped knock MF Global's own debt rating to junk and drained investors' confidence in the firm. MF Global held about $6.3 billion in bonds issued by Italy, Spain, Belgium, Ireland, and Portugal. The second largest Chapter 11 filing, CDC Corporation, doing business as China.com, filed a Chapter 11 petition with the Bankruptcy Court for the Northern District on October 4th. The debtor has $377.4 million in total assets and $258.8 million in liabilities as of June 30, 2011. Headquartered in Hong Kong, CDC Corporate is a technology firm and global provider of enterprise software, online games, and internet and media services. CDC filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection after a hedge fund investor won a $65.4 million judgment against it. The third largest Chapter 11 filing for October was by Real Mexican Restaurants. The company and its affiliates sought Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on October 4th with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware before Judge Brendan Linehan Shannon. Real Mex Restaurants owns and operates restaurants primarily through its major subsidiaries, El Torito Restaurants, Chevy's Restaurants, and Acapulco Restaurants. Real Mex has 178 restaurants, with 149 in California. There are also 30 franchise locations. Assets are $272.2 million, while debts total $250 million, according to the Chapter 11 petition. Real Mex filed for Chapter 11 to sell the assets in 3 months after a restructuring agreement couldn't be worked out with the second lien debt holder pre-bankruptcy. The company said it intends to close 12 stores and shed another 40 unless landlords make concessions. In addition, Open Range Communication Incorporated filed a Chapter 11 petition on October 6 with the bankruptcy court for the District of the Delaware to either sell the business or shut down and liquidate. Open Range listed about $114 million in assets and $110 million in debts. Greenwood Village, Colorado-based Open Range, provides wireless broadband services to 26,000 rural customers in 12 states. Open Range, named ToTheHome.com, is the best bidder, a small broadband provider in Minnesota, for the rural broadband network assets. The sale would be of substantially the entire Open Range business, including the WiMAX network equipment the company's deployed on more than 400 towers in 11 states. An auction is scheduled for November 14th, and if no high bidder emerges, closing the deal with ToTheHome.com would occur on November 17th. Other large Chapter 11 cases include Chef Solutions Incorporated, Friendly Ice Cream Corporation, J.E.R. Jameson, Mez Brower, LLC, Mine Reclamation, LLC, Pacific Monarch Resorts Incorporated, Southern Montana Electric Generation and Transmission Cooperative, and Gam Tang E. Corporation. They listed estimated assets and liabilities in the range of $100 million to $500 million. Chef Solutions and its affiliates filed for Chapter 11 protection on October 4th with the Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware before Judge Kevin Gross. Chef Solutions, through subsidiary Oval Kent Food, is the second largest manufacturer in North America of fresh prepared food for retail, food service, and commercial channels. A joint venture between Maestro Capital Management, LLC, and Ressers Fine Foods Incorporated has signed a contract to buy the business for $36.4 million in cash and $25.3 million in secured debt. The deal is subject to higher and better offers. Friendly Ice Cream Corporation is the owner and franchisor of 490 full-service, family-oriented restaurants and provider of ice cream products in the eastern United States. Friendly's, together with four affiliates, filed for Chapter 11 reorganization on October 5th with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court before Judge Kevin Gross. Friendly's wants to sell the business mostly in exchange for debt to Sunday Group Holdings, LLC, a unit of Sun Capital Partners, Incorporated. The existing owner and holder of the debtor's second lien debt are also affiliates of Sun Capital. Friendly's, based in Wilbraham, Massachusetts, also announced the closing of 63 stores, leaving about 424 operating. Franchise operators own about 230 of those locations. Sunday Group Holding proposed to pay about $120 million for business. The price includes enough cash to pay the first lien debt and an amount of cash for unsecured creditors to be negotiated with the official creditors committee. Aside from the cash, the Sun Capital unit will make a credit bid from the $267.7 million in second lien pay-in-kind notes. The bid from Sun Capital is subject to higher and better offers at an auction. Under the proposed timeline, bids would be due November 24th, followed by an auction on December 1st. J.E.R. Jameson, Mez Borrower, LLC, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on October 18th with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware before Judge Mary Walrath. 7 days later, J.E.R. Jameson, Mez Borrower, LLC, followed suit by filing for bankruptcy also in Delaware. J.E.R. Jameson, Mez Borrower, and 1 and 2 are special purpose entities that hold the first and second mezzanine loans of Jameson Inns, a chain of 103 small budget hotels operating under the Jameson brand in Southeast and Midwest U.S. The J.E.R. Jameson entities seek to prevent foreclosures by affiliates of Colonial Capital. Pacific Monarch Resorts Incorporated and its debtor affiliates filed for joint Chapter 11 protection on October 24th with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Central District of California in Santa Ana before Judge Aerith A. Smith. Pacific Monarch Resorts is a resort timeshare operator known as Monarch Grand Vacations. When it filed for bankruptcy, it had a contract in hand to sell the operation for $49.3 million to Diamond Resorts Corporation, the owner of 196 timeshare resorts. The deal is subject to better bids at an auction. Pacific Monarch has 9 resorts with locations including Palm Springs, Lake Tahoe, and Las Vegas. Pacific Monarch, based in Laguna Hills, California, said assets and debt both exceeded $100 million. Southern Montana Electric Generation and Transmission Cooperative Incorporated filed for bare bones Chapter 11 petition with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Montana on October 21st, saying that assets and debts both exceed $100 million. Based in Billings, Montana, the co-op was formed to serve 5 other electric cooperatives. The city of Great Falls, Montana, later joined as the 6th member. Including the city, the co-op serves a population of approximately 122,000. In addition to Great Falls, the service area includes suburbs of Billings, Montana. In October, there was no prepackaged or pre-negotiated Chapter 11 mega cases filed. For the first 10 months of 2011, 11 of the 70 mega cases, 16%, were prepackaged or pre-negotiated in nature. For fiscal year 2010, a total of 35 prepackaged were filed, about 1 in every 3 filings in 2010. 4 of the 10 mega cases for October were engaged in accommodation and food services, 2 were engaged in manufacturing, and 2 were engaged in finance and insurance. The other Chapter 11 mega cases were engaged in utilities and information. For the first 10 months of 2011, companies engaged in manufacturing continued to lead the large Chapter 11 filings with 13 bankruptcies during the period. They are closely followed by accommodation and food services with 12, finance and insurance with 8, retail, trade and information with 7, and real estate with 6. Of the October mega cases, 5 were filed in Delaware, 1 each in Southern District of New York, Central District of California, Montana, Eastern District of Virginia, and Northern District of Georgia. For the first 10 months of 2011, 33 mega cases were filed in Delaware, 13 were filed in the Southern District of New York, 4 were filed in Southern District of Texas, the rest were evenly distributed among various bankruptcy courts throughout the U.S. Lehman Brothers Holding Corporation remains the biggest corporation bust in history. Lehman's, which filed in 2008, had $639 billion in total assets and $613 billion in total debts at the time of filing. Now, let's turn to the topic of large Chapter 11 filings troubled company reporter editors anticipate in the near term. Carlos Fernandez identified 8 large companies that may be close to filing for bankruptcy. William Lyon Homes Incorporated failed to make its scheduled October 1, 2011 semi-annual interest payment of $7.5 million on its outstanding $138.8 million 10.75% unsecured notes due April 1, 2013. As a result, Standard & Poor's rating service lowered its corporate credit rating on William Lyon to D from CC. In November, William Lyon announced an exchange offer that will swap senior notes for equity while generating $85 million in new cash. Holders of 64% of the $284 million in senior unsecured notes support the arrangement, where the existing debt will be exchanged for $75 million in new secured notes plus 28.5% of the common equity. The Lyon family will invest $25 million in return for 20% of the common stock and warrants for another 9.1%. Senior secured lenders are to receive a 10.25% 3-year note for $235 million. There will be a rights offering to buy $10 million in common stock and $50 million in convertible preferred stock, representing 51.5% of the new equity. A note holder has agreed to buy any of the offerings that isn't purchased. The company said it expects the offering will be concluded in the first quarter of 2012. Newport Beach, California-based William Lyon Homes are primarily engaged in designing, constructing, and selling single-family detached and attached homes in California, Arizona, and Nevada. It had $611.15 million in total assets and $610.25 million in total liabilities as of June 30, 2011. Net losses was $22.4 million on revenue of $101.9 million for the 6 months ended June 30, 2011. The operating loss for the half year was $12.5 million. Dune Energy Incorporated, an independent energy company based in Houston, Texas, announced the exchange offer last week that it will complete as a prepackaged Chapter 11 filing if there aren't enough acceptances to complete the swap outside of bankruptcy court. The exchange is supported by holders of 90% of the $300 million in the 10.5% senior secured notes due 2012, and by a holder with 64% of the convertible preferred stock. The offer would swap the secured notes for 97.25% of the new common stock and a combination of cash and secured notes for $50 million. The existing preferred stock would be exchanged for 1.5% of the common stock, leaving existing shareholders with 1.25% of the equity. The company said it will begin the exchange offer by November 1st. The balance sheet was upside down on June 30th with assets of $274.2 million and total liabilities of $369.7 million. For the first half of 2011, the Houston-based company had a net loss of $32.2 million on revenue of $33.3 million. Aqualex Holding, LLC, is now operating under a forbearance agreement expiring December 8, 2011. Aqualex Holdings, a provider of maintenance, repair, and industrial cleaning solutions to the energy industry, had a net loss of $14 million on $227 million of revenue for the 6 months ended June 30, 2011. The balance sheet at June 30, 2011 showed $670 million in assets, $491 million in liabilities. Standard & Poor's lowered the corporate credit rating Aqualex to CCC- and gave a negative outlook. While we recognize that the agreement provides Aqualex with some additional time to negotiate a longer-term solution with its lenders, we also recognize the probability that the company may be unable to negotiate adequate covenant relief and could go under a financial restructuring or payment default, said Standard & Poor's credit analyst James Sihan. Aqualex no longer has the availability under its revolving credit facility, and its free cash flow has been negative for the past two quarters. PMI Group Incorporated is going to court in Arizona to seek to unravel insurance regulators' takeover of its mortgage insurance subsidiary, PMI Mortgage Insurance Company. The subsidiary already had been barred from writing new policies when regulators took it over in October. The holding company reported a net operating loss of $412.1 million for the 6 months ended June 30th. In October, PMI Group hired advisors to help with the possible restructuring. For legal counsel, PMI Group hired Sullivan and Cromwell, LLP, and Young & Conaway, Stargett, and Taylor, LLP. Encore Partners Incorporated was tapped to serve as financial advisor. Walnut Creek, California-based PMI Group provides residential mortgage insurance in the United States. Trailer Bridge Incorporated, effective October 24, 2011, entered into two forbearance agreements related to its revolving credit facility and term loan and security agreement by and among Wells Fargo Bank North America as agent for the lenders. The company has not refinanced its senior secured notes, which failure is considered a refinancing under revolving credit facility. The lenders have agreed to forbear from exercising their rights until February 14th. Jacksonville, Florida-based Trailer Bridge is a trucking and marine freight carrier that provides freight transportation between the continental U.S., Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic. Net loss was $2.3 million on $118 million of revenue for 2010, compared with net income of $2.6 million on $114 million of revenue for 2009. The company's balance sheet at June 30th, 2011, showed $105.62 million in total assets, $119.54 million in total liabilities, and a $13.92 million total stockholder deficit. The company has warned it may be forced to file for protection under the federal bankruptcy laws due to its debt and funding woes. Standard & Poor's Rating Services lowered its long-term credit rating on Trailer Bridge Incorporated to SD from CCC. We lowered our issue rating to reflect imminent refinancing risk and the company's high probability of default, given that the senior notes mature on November 15, 2011, said Standard & Poor's credit analyst Funmi Afanja. River Rock Entertainment Authority, the operator of an Indian-owned casino, Gacerville, California, didn't pay off $200 million in 9.75% first lien bonds when they matured on November 1st. The authority announced an exchange offer and a forbearance agreement with holders of 60% of the bonds. The exchange offer entails the issuance of $27.6 million in new subordinate notes. The authority expects the offer to start November 18th. The company had previously said that if it is unable to refinance the debt or extend the maturity date, it might pursue a case under the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. Eastman Kodak Company, the former filmmaker attempting to transform itself into a provider of digital imaging products, had a net loss of $647 million on $4.27 billion of total net sales for the 9 months ended September 30, 2011, compared with a net loss of $92 million on $5.22 billion of total net sales for the same period during the prior year. The balance sheet at the end of the period was upside down, with assets at $5.10 billion and debts at $6.75 billion. The company said that its ability to continue its operations, including its ability to fund working capital, capital investments, scheduled interest and debt repayments, restructuring payments, and employee benefit plan payments or required plan contributions within the next 12 months is dependent upon the ability to monetize its digital imaging patent portfolio through a sale or licensing of relevant patents or the successful execution of alternative actions, which could include the issuance of additional debt. Kodak has hired Jones as legal advisor and investment bank Lazard. Limited, but denied rumors it's filed for bankruptcy. Kodak is exploring a sale of its patents. Eastman Kodak will run out of second or third quarter of 2012. Moody's Investor Service said in a report November 7th, Moody's expects the $862 million of cash at the end of the third quarter to grow to $1.3 billion by the year's end. Moody's said the trouble is Kodak's operations consume significant cash in the first half of every year. In the U.S., Moody's predicts cash of $588 million at the end of the year and will drop to $97 million by June and turn negative by September. The Wall Street Journal's Dan Fitzpatrick, Mike Spector, and Ruth Simon report that the people familiar with the situation said Ally Financial Incorporated, the lender that took $17 billion of U.S. aid in the financial crisis, is considering a bankruptcy protection filing for its mortgage lending unit, Residential Capital LLC. Sources told the Journal that Ally, formerly GMAC, is being advised by law firm Kirkland & Ellis and investment bank Evercore Partners Incorporated on a possible restructuring of ResCap, which has lost $555 million in the past two quarters. A final decision hasn't been made on how Ally and ResCap might proceed, the people said. Roughly $2.3 billion of ResCap debt is scheduled to come due in 2011, 2012, and 2013. ResCap has $623 million of cash and cash equivalents as of September 30, 2011. Ally, in its regulatory filings in August related to its planning IPO, said it has $772 million equity position in ResCap. Ally said ResCap remains heavily reliant on support from us to meet its liquidity and capital requirements. It also noted that ResCap filed for bankruptcy. Its investment-related ResCap's equity position would likely be reduced to zero. In the financial filing early in November, Ally said that the equity position in ResCap was $331 million. In addition to the challenged companies mentioned in Mr. Fernandez's report, the troubled company reporter provides ongoing reporting about more than 3,000 companies experiencing financial distress or restructuring their balance sheet in a judicial proceeding. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. Next, we will quickly review major pending disputes in seven large Chapter 11 cases that troubled company reporter editors monitor day by day. Ivy Magdadaro identified two major disputes pending in the Lehman Brothers case, one with London-based Barclays PLC and another with JP Morgan Chase. Barclays and the Lehman Brokerage Unit have resumed their $3 billion asset fight. James Giddens, the Lehman Brokerage Unit trustee, asserted on appeal that the bankruptcy court erred in awarding $1.1 billion in assets to Barclays after the UK bank brought the Lehman Broker Unit. The judge mistakenly focused on a description of the assets held in the boxes to clear trades, instead of concentrating on which party they were owed to, the Lehman's trustee said in an October 28th filing. Barclays is contesting the bankruptcy judge's $2 billion awards of margin assets to the Lehman's brokerage. Also on October 28th, Barclays said the ruling is commercially absurd because the bank would never have taken on trading assets without the margin backing them. U.S. bankruptcy judge James Peck in Manhattan told Barclays to return $2 million to Mr. Giddens and ordered the trustee to give to Barclays at least $1.1 billion and possibly another $769 million. Lehman Brothers filed the biggest bankruptcy in U.S. history in 2008. Barclays is the second largest U.K. bank who bought the Lehman brokerage in 2008. Barclays defeated the Lehman parent company and its brokers unit in a lawsuit where Mr. Giddens demanded $7 billion from Barclays, while the Lehman parent sought an $11 billion windfall in alleged Barclays made on the 2008 purchase of the Lehman's brokerage business. ruling in February this year, Judge Peck told Lehman he found no willful misconduct as Barclays bought defunct Lehman's brokerage in the credit crisis. In effect, the Lehman's parent got nothing from the lawsuit on September 22nd, said it is dropping its appeal of Judge Peck's ruling on the windfall claim so that it can move ahead with its liquidation plan. Lehman creditors also dropped their appeal of Judge Peck's ruling on the Barclays suit in September, said James Tech, a lawyer for the creditors' committee. Meanwhile, Bank of America has taken on appeal from Judge Peck's ruling that it return to Lehman's $500 million in alleged seized deposits and pay interest. Lehman has a $8.6 billion lawsuit against New York-based J.P. Morgan, alleging that the bank helped to cause its downfall. Lehman said J.P. Morgan, at its main clearing bank, used access to its financial distress to extract collateral and thus hastened its demise. J.P. Morgan countersued in December, saying Lehman struck it with more than $25 billion in toxic loans that might never be repaid. In court papers filed on September 26th, J.P. Morgan said the $8 billion lawsuit filed in Manhattan Bankruptcy Court in May 2010 should be moved to a federal court in light of the U.S. Supreme Court's contentious ruling in June in former Playboy model Anna Nicole Smith and Harrison's battle. The Supreme Court ruled in the case Stern v. Marshall that bankruptcy courts lack authority to decide on claims brought by a debtor against a creditor unless the claims are fully rooted in bankruptcy law. Lehman defended the bankruptcy court's jurisdiction, saying that the lawsuit allegations carry a bankruptcy context because they challenged J.P. Morgan's original proof of claim against Lehman. Lehman's case against J.P. Morgan is slated for trial on 2012. Separately, Lehman's is fighting J.P. Morgan in the bankruptcy court over a $6 million payment demand filed by the New York bank related to certain securities. J.P. Morgan demanded roughly $6 billion to help cover $25 billion in losses it incurred through its role on Lehman Brothers repurchase deals, saying the securities alone did not generate enough cash to make it whole. Lehman said in August that the claims are overstated. On October 24th, J.P. Morgan sought to seal certain data related to the $6 billion in claims it filed against Lehman. J.P. Morgan said secrecy is needed to protect entities from harm. The selected information includes names and account numbers of J.P. Morgan's trading partners, phone numbers, and certain email addresses. Once the world's fourth biggest investment bank, Lehman spent about $1.4 billion on lawyers and managers since 2008 bankruptcy filing. Ms. Magdadero also reports that creditors of the extended stay hotel chain are suing Blackstone Group LP for $8.4 billion, alleging that it purposely sold the chain in 2007 to the Lightstone Group for $8 billion, a figure they claim was overpriced to increase the fees Blackstone would receive from the sale. The resulting additional leverage eventually forced the hotel chain into bankruptcy 2 years later. The creditors also seek punitive damage, which are rare, for Blackstone breaching its fiduciary duties to both company and its creditors. Five lawsuits related to the 2007 hotel sale were filed in state court by Hobart Truesdale, the administrator of the litigation trust created for extended stay creditors, in June this year on behalf of the creditors. The lawsuit was moved to the bankruptcy court in July upon request from the Blackstone defendants. The defendants argue that the bankruptcy court has jurisdiction over the lawsuit because it stemmed from extended stay's bankruptcy case. Mr. Truesdale has taken an appeal from the bankruptcy court September 19th decision denying remand to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. In another development, Mr. Truesdale announced the voluntary dismissal of a complaint charge on securities violation against Blackstone Group and its co-defendants. Meanwhile, defendants had until November 1st to file motions to dismiss the remaining lawsuits. The extended stay litigation trustee has until December 23rd to file opposition briefs to any motion to dismiss. Extended Stay operates more than 680 long-term lodging properties in 44 states. An investor group, which included Blackstone, bought the business through a Chapter 11 plan for $3.93 billion in cash. The plan was implemented in October 2010. Extended Stay's Chapter 11 petition in June 2009 listed assets of $7.1 billion against debt totaling $7.6 billion. In Washington Mutual Incorporated, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has balked at extending the termination date for the three-way settlement deal at the heart of the WaMu bankruptcy plan, WaMu lawyers said on November 7th. The WaMu plan is based on the proposed settlement of lawsuits that pitted WaMu Incorporated, the FDIC, and J.P. Morgan Chase against one another after the FDIC seized WaMu's Seattle-based flagship bank in 2008 and sold the WaMu bank assets to J.P. Morgan for $1.9 billion. Under the proposed settlement, the lawsuit would be dismissed and billions in disputed assets would be distributed among WaMu, J.P. Morgan, and FDIC. The lawsuit settlement has not been terminated and won't terminate automatically, but the FDIC's refusal to consent to an extension means the $7 billion agreement could be terminated at any time by any party, according to WaMu lawyers. On September 13th, Judge Mary Walrath, for the second time, declined to approve WaMu's bankruptcy exit plan. The judge found that WaMu's equity security holders made credible claims that the hedge fund supporting the plan engaged in insider trading of WaMu securities based on information they obtained during the bankruptcy. The four hedge funds that helped negotiate the plan, Aurelius Capital Management, Center Bridge Partners LP, Appaloosa Management LP, and Owl Creek Asset Management LP, have filed appeals in late September of Judge Walrath's second rejection of WaMu's plan. Judge Walrath has ordered mediation for the parties to resolve insider trading allegations. U.S. Bankruptcy Judge Raymond T. Lyons has been appointed to lead the mediation sessions, who reported that discussions have been fruitful and positive. Nevertheless, as of November 7th, the mediation was extended for another 2 weeks. Judge Walrath expects to have a report back on November 22nd. The matters under mediation don't directly involve the lawsuit settlement, and there are no signs that WaMu or J.P. Morgan have inclined to pull out of the deal, according to reports. The billion-dollar lawsuit settlement has survived attacks from shareholders twice, but the WaMu bankruptcy plan has also been rejected twice due to unrelated defects. WaMu is the biggest bank failure in U.S. history, with the holding company listing $4.49 billion versus $7.83 billion in liabilities. In Tribune, the major dispute arises out of $13 billion leveraged buyout of the companies engineered by Sam Zell in 2007, which is alleged to have eventually led to the companies into bankruptcy the following year. Formal lawsuits were filed by Tribune's creditors committee in late 2010 to hold Tribune's executives and lenders at the time of the LBO accountable for any fraudulent transfers in the LBO. The suits have been stayed pending Tribune's progress in getting court approval of a bankruptcy plan. Tribune is the second largest newspaper publisher in the United States. It's listed $13 billion in debt and $7.6 billion in asset when it filed for bankruptcy protection in December of 2008. It owns the Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, and six other newspapers and 23 television stations. According to Ms. Magdadero, Ambac Financial Group's dispute with the Internal Revenue Service related to the more than $7 billion in net operating losses and claims filed by the IRS in Ambac's Chapter 11 case over back taxes totaling more than $1.5 billion. IRS has questioned how Ambac used $7.3 billion in net operating losses, or NOLs, to account for its losses from credit default swaps. IRS seeks a $807.2 million claim, which Ambac said should be valued at zero. A lawsuit over the dispute is still in mediation. On October 12th, Ambeck asked the bankruptcy court to hold a hearing to estimate the value of the $807.2 million tax claim, saying the company may run out of cash by 2012 if a dispute with the IRS is not resolved. Ambeck says it needs to exit bankruptcy by December. The alternative would be a full trial on the issue, would delay the bankruptcy case to such a degree that reorganization would otherwise be rendered impossible, Ambeck said to court in court papers. Ambeck seeks to use $4.7 billion of the $7 billion in net operating losses for future tax years. Ambeck Assurance Corporation was the second largest bond insurer before the 2008 financial crisis. Ambeck Financial, the holding company for Ambeck Assurance, and who relied on dividends from Ambeck Assurance, filed for bankruptcy in November 2010 after Ambeck Assurance stopped selling new policies in 2008. On October 5th, Judge Shelley Chapman of Manhattan's approved the disclosure statement explaining Ambeck's plan to restructure more than $1.24 billion in senior notes, paving the way for creditors to vote on a final Chapter 11 plan. Objections from shareholders were overruled. Shareholders have lamented that the plan will improperly give them nothing for their investment. Innkeepers USA Trust agreed to sell 64 of its hotels to Cerberus Capital Management LP and Catham Lodging Trust for $1.02 billion, ending a two-month dispute after the buyers called off an early deal at a higher price. Innkeepers sued Cerberus and Cathay back in August over their decision to back out of a May 6 agreement to pay $1.12 billion for the hotels, including $700 million of debt. The prior deal fell apart when Cerberus and Cathay invoked a so-called material adverse effect clause, which they contended allowed them to back out of it in the event occurred that could adversely affect Innkeepers' business. A weakened economy in the hotel industry contributed to the decision, Cerberus said. Innkeepers, in bankruptcy since July 2010, operates 71 hotels, including Residence Inn, Marriott Hotels, Hampton Inns as well. Finally, Ms. Magdalero relates that a litigation trust created for creditors of Fairpoint Communication Incorporated filed a $2 billion fraudulent transfer lawsuit against Verizon Communications in late October, blaming Verizon for Fairpoint's bankruptcy. The trust alleges Verizon lured Fairpoint in a 2008 to buy inferior assets that had no future, Verizon's landline and internet operations in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. The suit alleges that the Fairpoint acquired were antiquated landlines and DSL technology that was already disfavored by customers and expensive to maintain. Fairpoint sought bankruptcy protection 18 months after the acquisition. Verizon called the lawsuits meritless. The suit was filed in Mecklenburg County Court in North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina-based Fairpoint provides telephone and internet services in 18 states, mostly in rural areas. Julianne Lopez reports about four Chapter 11 debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. Tribune Company, W.R. Grace & Company, Lehman Brothers, and Washington Mutual. U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Kevin Carey rejected on October 31, 2011, the separate request of Tribune Company and rival Aurelius Capital Management, LP, for the court to confirm their competing Chapter 11 plans for reorganization for the publisher, leaving the Chapter 11 proceedings unresolved after nearly 3 years in court. In a 126-page opinion, Judge Carey said neither plan was confirmable under the bankruptcy code and threatened to appoint a bankruptcy trustee to resolve the case if the company and its warring creditors can't come up with a viable solution soon. Tribune's plan proposed narrowly limiting the scope of future litigation and promising dissident creditors as much as $714 million if they drop most of their claims. But the Aurelius camp wanted to pursue full litigation against parties involved in the 2007 leveraging buyout of the company. Judge Carey said that the plan proposed by Tribune and a group of senior creditors had a better chance of confirmation if it was altered to meet his objections. He added that the competing plan proposed by Aurelius and a group of junior bondholders was not as feasible as the senior creditors' proposal because it depended on a highly speculative litigation trust to resolve the many legal issues swirling around the case. The judge also said holders of the deeply subordinate class of notes known as phones were being treated unfairly. Nevertheless, it is reported that the judge is favoring the Tribune proposal. Judge Carey noted that voters overwhelmingly favored the plan proposed by the senior creditors. Both Aurelius and Tribune said they needed more time to study the decision before commenting. Although he failed to provide specific roadmap, Judge Carey made clear his resolve to wrap up the case soon. He stated that the debtors must promptly find an exit door to this Chapter 11 proceeding. The court is equally resolute that if a viable exit strategy does not present itself soon, and despite any disruption to management, as well as the added cost and delay that might inevitably happen, the court intends to consider on its own motion whether the Chapter 11 trustee should be appointed, Judge Carey concluded. Judge Carey said he will convene a status hearing on November 22, 2011, to further the expeditious and economic resolution of the Chapter 11 case. Tribune is approaching 1,100 days in bankruptcy court, putting it on the upper 10% of the longest-running bankruptcy for large public companies. Tribune's Chapter 11 reorganization began in December 2008. Alfred E. Festa, chairman, president, and chief executive officer of W.R. Grace Company, said during a October 25, 2011 investor conference call that the debtors are still waiting on the U.S. District Court for the District of Delaware to rule on an affirmation of their plan of reorganization and on the appeals to the plan's confirmation order. "We are due to hear from the court literally, it could be any day. At this point, however, it is unlikely we'll emerge this year," Mr. Festa said. "We continue to remain highly confident that the court will rule in our favor on all matters. We just don't know when the ruling will come," he added. The plan, co-proposed by Official Committee of Asbestos Personal Injury Complainants, the Official Committee of Equity Security Holders, and the Asbestos Future Claimants representative appointed in Grace's bankruptcy case, is before the district court pending appeals from various parties, including a group of pre-petition bank lenders and official committees of unsecured creditors. Mr. Festa noted that the bankruptcy process has been an incredible long process and the debtors are all eager to see it conclude as soon as possible. He added that the only real course at this point is to wait for the district court ruling on affirmation. "It is important to remember that the bankruptcy court does not impact the way we run our business or the operating results we are achieving," Mr. Festa said. "We have grown revenues and earnings, made acquisitions, significant capital investments, and built substantial value for our shareholders while in bankruptcy," he pointed out. Grace filed for Chapter 11 reorganization in 2001 to protect itself from more than 100,000 personal injury claims. Deutsche Bank AG and several other creditors of Lehman Brothers Holdings Incorporated have signed plan support agreement indicating they will vote in favor of the confirmation of the defunct investment bank's proposed Chapter 11 plan. The creditors, which also include Bank of America North America, Royal Bank of Scotland PLC, Societe Generale, BNP Paribas, Ochziff Capital Management Group, LLC, UBS AG, Verde Partners, LP, and King Street Capital Management, LP, are the latest additions to the increasing list of Lehman creditors supporting the $65 billion payout plan. Deutsche Bank previously called for the reclassification of its claims, each in the sum of more than $1 billion against LBHI and its commercial paper unit under the plan. Deutsche Bank's lawyers, Joshua Dorchek, Esquire, at Bingham McCutcheon LLP in New York, clarified that the bank's move to support the plan is without prejudice to its rights and remedies with regards to the proposed reclassification of its claims. The plan, if confirmed, would enable LBHI and affiliated debtors to pay an estimated $65 billion to their creditors. Under the plan, LBHI's senior unsecured creditors, which have an estimated $83.724 billion in claims, would recover 21% of their claims. Meanwhile, general unsecured creditors, which have an estimated $11.39 billion in claims, would recover 19% of their claims. The proposed plan drew flak from the U.S. trustee, a Justice Department agency overseeing bankruptcy cases, and more than 20 layman creditors. In court papers, U.S. trustee criticized the plan's provision to pay the fees and expenses of professionals employed by members of Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors and by the indenture trustees of debt holders. The proposed plan provides for the payment of fees and expenses as administrative expense claims without bankruptcy court order. The U.S. trustee said the payment of fees of members of the creditor committee is not allowed under U.S. bankruptcy law. It is further said that the indenture trustees should be required to file an application and show that they have made substantial contributions to the bankruptcy case before any payments are made. Aside from the proposed payment, the U.S. trustee also criticized another provision of the plan which releases companies and individuals from liabilities to third parties. This provision also drew flak from the government lawyer, Robert William Yalen, Esquire, who argued that the proposed release is extended beyond the bankruptcy court's jurisdiction and are not authorized by the bankruptcy code. Lehman also filed to win support from liquidation of its Australian arm, Lehman Brothers Australia Limited. Other Lehman creditors opposed the confirmation of the plan, including China Development Incorporated Bank, Dotson Investment Limited, Bank of Montreal, U.S. Bank at North America, Giant Stadium LLC, BNY Mellon Corporate Trustee Services Limited, Fontaine Blue Las Vegas LLC, Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts, Ashbury Atlantic Incorporated, and the liquidators of Lehman Brothers Finance AG. The opposing creditors complained that the plan authorized desperate treatment of creditors of the same class, enjoins them from prosecuting their claims in other proceedings, forces some creditors to give up a portion of the value of their claims in favor of other creditors, among other reasons. Some of them also do not agree with the assumption of the contracts with Lehman. The hearing is considered confirmation of the plan is scheduled for December 6, 2011, before Judge James Peck. LBHI has filed with the court a supplement to the proposed Chapter 11 plan incorporating 9 major settlement agreements. The court filing including 6 agreements with 67 Lehman non-controlled affiliates and 3 agreements with large creditors. Lehman filed for bankruptcy protection on September 15, 2008. Washington Mutual's Incorporated bankruptcy judge ordered creditors and shareholders to remain in mediation for the next 2 weeks to try to resolve disputes that have kept the former bank holding company from exiting bankruptcy. U.S. bankruptcy judge Mary Walrath in Wilmington, Delaware, told parties to keep working to resolve disputes about insider trading allegations that shareholders made against hedge funds that hold WaMu debt. Judge Walrath asked the company to report back November 22nd. The talks have been fruitful, Brian Rosen, an attorney for WaMu, said in the court on November 8th in Wilmington. The discussions have been positive. Judge Walrath has twice rejected WaMu's reorganization proposal, which is built on settlement splitting billions of dollars in cash and tax funds among company creditors. J.P. Morgan and Chase Company and Federal Deposit Insurance Company Corporation. Judge Walrath approved the settlement and rejected the reorganization plan. The parties in the mediation include 4 hedge funds that helped negotiate the plan with shareholders who opposed it. The shareholders accused the hedge funds of using non-public information that they gained while helping to negotiate the plan trade WaMu securities. U.S. bankruptcy judge Raymond T. Lyons has been leading sessions among creditors and shareholders who have been fighting over the $7 billion payment plan. The hedge funds denies the insider trading allegations. Judge Walrath gave shareholders permission to sue the fund. WaMu filed for bankruptcy on September 26, 2008, the day after its banking unit was taken over by regulators and sold to J.P. Morgan and Chase, JPM, for $1.9 billion. The troubled company reporter provides detailed reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the CCR at no cost or obligation. Psych Maricon Castellan reports about three companies that issued or will issue shares of new common stock upon emergence pursuant to the plans of reorganization they filed in Chapter 11 cases. These are U.S. Dry Cleaning Services, Ambac Financial, and Sbarro's. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court confirmed the First Amended Joint and Consolidation Chapter 11 Plan of Reorganization dated September 14, 2011 by U.S. Dry Cleaning Services. USDC also entered into a securities purchase agreement in connection with the private placement of 10% senior secured original issue discount convertible debentures due September 23, 2011. The common stock purchases warrants to certain existing and new investors. Gross cash proceeds from the first closing of this private placement were roughly $4.5 million. All debentures were issued with an original issue discount of 10%. Interest on the debentures is 10% per year, which will accrue from the original issue date until September 30, 2012, after which time interest will be payable in cash quarterly in arrears. The debentures are convertible by the holders into shares of USDC common stock at a conversion price equal to 50% of the price per share of common stock sold in USDC's next public offering of securities, provided, however, that the USDC does not effectuate the public offering within 9 months of September 23, 2011. The conversion price shall be $2 per share. Principal and interest are due at maturity on September 23, 2013. USDC, a retail laundry and dry cleaning provider, filed for Chapter 11 protection on March 4, 2010. Ambac Financial Group filed with U.S. Bankruptcy Court a Second Amendment Chapter 11 plan and related disclosure statement. Pursuant to the plan, each holder of the senior notes claim will receive its own pro rata share of new common stock. Each holder of a general unsecured claim will receive its pro rata share of new common stock. And provided that the class of senior notes claimants votes to accept the plan, warrants in the amount of the amounts outlined in and subject to certain conditions as set forth in the plan, and providing that the class of senior notes claims votes to accept the plan, each holder of the subordinated notes claim will receive warrants, and provided that the class of the subordinate notes claims also votes to accept the plan, new common stock, all in the amounts outlined in the subject to certain conditions as set forth in the plan. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York has approved the disclosure statement explaining Sbarro's Incorporated's First Amendment Joint Chapter 11 Plan of Reorganization. The disclosure statement provides that reorganized debtors will secure new capital to continue their turnaround efforts and will reduce their funded debt to no more than $130 million by about 65%, and to expect to have net debt of roughly $110 million on emergence. Certain of the debtors' pre-petition first lien lenders have agreed to provide the debtors with $35 million new money first out term loan facility, up to $20 million of which is expected to be funded on the effective date. A sufficient portion of the first out new money term facility remain undrawn at closing, and as part of the roughly $30 million of liquidity on the effective date will provide the reorganized debtors with access to funds to be used going forward for general corporate and working capital needs, as well as cash collateralization, certain letters of credit. Up to $35 million of loans expected to be outstanding under the DIP facility will be converted on a dollar-for-dollar basis into first-out-exit term loans and issue to the DIP lenders on the effective date. $75 million of the outstanding obligations under the pre-petition first lien credit facility will be converted into $75 million last-out-exit term loan facility to be issued pro rata to the pre-petition first lien lenders on the effective date, subject to a letter of credit claims reserve. The remaining $100 million in secured debt outstanding under the pre-petition first lien credit facility, excluding amounts related to existing letters of credit, which will be addressed with the letter of credit claims reserve, plus any first lien adequate protection claims that are not otherwise restructured under the last out exit term facility will be converted into 100% of the common equity of reorganized subborrowers and distributed pro rata to the petition first lien lenders and on account of the obligations owed to them under the pre-petition first lien credit facility and the first lien adequate protection claims. The debtor's obligation under the pre-petition second lien credit agreement will be canceled and discharged. General unsecured claims against debtors, including $150 million in outstanding unsecured senior notes, plus accrued interest, will be canceled and discharged. The general unsecured claims held by certain trade creditors with whom the debtors intend to conduct business post-emergence will receive their pro rata share of $500,000 in cash. All equity interest in Sabara Holdings LLC will be extinguished. The court scheduled a November 17, 2011 confirmation hearing. That ends the Baird Group Corporate Restructuring Review for October 2011. Brought to you by the editors of the Troubled Company Reporter and Troubled Company Prospector. If you'd like to receive the Troubled Company Reporter for 30 days at no cost and with no strings attached, call Nina Novak at 240-629-3300 or visit bankrupt.com/free trial and we'll add you to the distribution list. That telephone number again, 240-629-3300. And that website once more, bankrupt.com/free trial. And be sure to tune in next month for the restructuring review on December 16th. Thank you for listening.